Okay, we're starting Chumash Devarim at 9:38. Before we start the actual text of Devarim, the Chumash Devarim is called Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah literally means the repetition of the Torah, because the Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu repeats all of the entire Torah, except as the Klayok and other Mefarshim point out, he doesn't explain the laws of Karbanis, he does not go through again all the Karbanis that he leaves out. But most of the other dinim of Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu repeats in the Chumash Devarim. Now officially Rashi says these are words of Musar. Moshe Rabbeinu is admonishing the people starting from Rosh Chodesh Shvat until he passed away on Zayin Adar. Moshe Rabbeinu is actually giving Musar, and we'll soon learn what that means, to the Jewish people. But there's a Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says in Megillah that Mishnah Torah Meishem Mipi Atzmei Amri. Meishem Rabbeinu said it on his own. The rest of Chumash, you have, it says, Vayidaber Hashem O Meishem Leimer, Daber Al Bnei Yisrael, and so on and so forth. This is all Meishem Rabbeinu speaking. So therefore, you're not going to have in Chumash Devarim, Vayidaber Hashem O Meishem Leimer, Hashem speaking to Meishem, command the Eden. That's in the first four books. That was straight from Hashem. Mishnah Torah, the Gemara says in Megillah, Meishem Mipi Atzmei Omri. Meishem Rabbeinu said it on his own. So the question is, what does that mean? What is the difference? Because we know that Rambam writes that if somebody says even one letter of Torah was not given from Hashem, Meishem Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, is like an apikaitis. I mean, how can you say Meishem Mipi Atzmei Omri? What does that mean? So there's a very interesting Hasidic explanation the Rebbe says in a few sichas. The Rebbe explains to different aspects of what this means. The first four books, in fact, Tesis in the Gemara Megillah says, what does it mean, Meishem Mipi Atzmei Omri? He said it, Beruach HaKadosh, with divine inspiration. So what's the difference between the first four books of Chumash and the last four books of, and the last Sefer of Chumash? So it's brought down that Meishe Rabbeinu, there's what's called Bederech Ma'avir and Bederech Hislapshus. We learned this in the second parak of Tanya. There's just passing through, and then there is the way it comes down into your level, and then you transmit it to others. For instance, you can have, there's a few Gashmistik and Mishalim for this. You have a big container of water, and you want to pour it into a little container. You can't pour it straight. It's going to spill. So what do? You have to get a funnel, yeah, that's wider on top and narrower at the bottom. So you pour into the funnel, and it goes through the funnel into the small, into the next container, into the smaller keli. Yeah, the first one is a big keli. How are you supposed to get from a big keli into a lower keli? So you have what's called a funnel, but it's called Derech Ma'avir. Ma'avir means it just passes through. It's like a microphone, you know? You speak into the microphone, the microphone is amplifying your voice, but it's not that a microphone is thinking and explaining and understanding it and then giving it over. You had in the time of the Gemara, they had what's called a Meturgamen. Gemara speaks about a Meturgamen. Meturgamen literally means a translator. But in the time of the Gemara, it wasn't like that. In the time of the Gemara, the job of a Meturgamen was a twofold job. Number one, he had a louder voice than the teacher. Then they have microphones in those days. So he had a big class. So how was the Rebbe supposed to, you know, the Rebbes were older people, to, you know, scholars, they weren't used to screaming. So he would tell it to the Meturgamen. And the Meturgamen would repeat it to the students. But over there, the Meturgamen understood what the teacher taught, and then he gave it over in a lower level to the Talmidim. It wasn't done like a microphone, it just went through the microphone or through the funnel. It actually, the Meturgamen understood what the Rebbe taught, yeah, and then he gave it over to the Talmidim. So it says, this is the difference, Chassidus explains, between the four books of Chumash and Mishnah Torah. The four first books of Chumash, the first Svarim, Bereishis, Shemeis, Vayikra, Bamidbar. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking, but as Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer, it went just through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did not keep it in himself first to understand it and then transmit it to Talmidim. One second. Dvarim, on the other hand, Meisha mi pi atzmei amru. What does it mean? Meisha Rabbeinu said himself. It wasn't that he said his own things. Hashem spoke. Meisha Rabbeinu digested it.
Keep it.
And then he gave it over to the Talmidim.
Transform it.
So in other words, it went into Meisha Rabbeinu's seichel. And then Meisha... So of course Hashem said it. It wasn't Meisha Rabbeinu making up this wisdom. But Meisha Rabbeinu was the one that lowered and limited that level of the seichel of the Rebbe, I mean in this case Hashem, in a way that the Jewish people can understand it. Okay? So from one side, seemingly, Mishneh Torah is lower than the rest of Chumash, because this came straight from God through the funnel, you know, without any in between. And Mishneh Torah, Dvarim, went actually through Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Hashem going through Moshe Rabbeinu. So of course, so seemingly Dvarim is lower. But of course, Siddhis comes and turns everything around. Things which are lower are higher. It's like the famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Shachris and Mincha mandatory, Arvis is Rishus, optional. Right? That's what the Gemara says. It's Machlekes, but... So seemingly when you hear that, you say, okay, Ma'ariv is not as important. This is mandatory, and this is optional. So Ma'ariv is not as important as Shacharis and Mincha. Comes along Chassidus in Kabbalah, and says, on the contrary, Ma'ariv is so great, it's so great that Hashem can't even command you to do it. It can only be optional. It's too great to be commanded to do. Well, that's what Chassidus does. It takes the things that seemingly are lower and makes it into something higher. So the Rebbe explains in the Sikh an interesting point. When something comes straight from Hashem, it's a very lofty level. Right? It's a very high level. But when you mix seichel and above seichel together, it comes from a place which is higher than both together. In other words, like this. You have miracles and you have nature. Right? You have a Nes and you have Teva. So Nes means above nature and nature means in nature. So it says in Kabbalah, in Chassidus, that a miracle that comes into nature is basically a combination of two opposites. When a miracle happens, straight open miracle, like Kriyas Yamsuf, yeah? Kriyas Yamsuf is an open miracle. Water normally moves and flows, and Hashem made a miracle, it stood. Yeah? That's open miracle-ness. The story of Purim, the Nes of Purim, was a Nes dressed into nature. Esther was the queen, and Mordechai was a big macher, and Mordechai saved the life of the king, and you know, the whole thing. So when you learn that story of Purim, yes, it's a miracle, but it's a miracle that dresses itself into the realm of nature. Because it happened, Mordechai and Esther, you know, you can translate it into nature. So Chassidus explains that when you combine Nes and Teva together, it has to come from a place which is higher than Nes and Teva together. Like we learned many times, if you have Ruchnius and Gashmius, you have spiritual and physical, yeah? So spiritual and physical. But when you combine physical and spiritual together, it needs to come from a level which is above both together. If you want to combine Gvul and Bligvul, unlimited and limited, it has to come from a level which is higher than both together. What's Mishneh Torah? Mishneh Torah is Hashem speaking, coming into the Seichel of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's taking godliness into Seichel. To connect those two levels together, the Rebbe explains, makes Dvarim on a higher level than the rest of Chumash. The rest of Chumash was God speaking. This is God speaking in Seichel, in nature. That means it came, comes from a higher level than the first four Svarim. Okay? But simply, the whole concept of Mishnah Torah is the way Hashem is speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, there's a famous introduction of the Ramban. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Dar Nichnas La'aretz, and the Ramban says that Hashem doesn't mention about the Karbonis, and he doesn't speak about the Kayanim's laws of... He speaks to the Jews that apply to most Jews. And here is an interesting thing. It's a little bit different than the Klei Yoker. If you look in the Pasuk, just see the Pasuk now. Eila Advarim, by the way, the Gemara says an interesting thing. It doesn't say Ve'eila Advarim. If you look at all the other Ve'eila Shmeis B'nei Yisrael, would evolve. Vayikrau Meisha, Vayidaber Hashem Meisha B'midbar Sinai. Here it doesn't say Ve'eila Advarim. So Rashi says in Mishpatim that when it says Eila, it means it's completely new thing. No, Ve'eila means Vav Achibur. Vav that connects, so then it's connected to the before. When it says Eila,
it's separated.
The Rashi says Eila Ve'eila Mishpatim. Ve'eila Mishpatim, it doesn't say Eila Mishpatim. It says Ve'eila Mishpatim, so Rashi says Vav connects. Just like the words when Parshas Yisro is Matan Torah, these also came from Sinai. But Mishnah Torah begins Eila Dvarim, so the Mefarshim explained, because it's new. It's not connected to the first four. This is a difference called Mishnah Torah. It's a new beginning of things.
Rabbi, when Hashem Daber, is the Daber is not the Sechol, something is not there? In Daber of Hashem?
No. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah, it went straight from Hashem straight to the Jews.
So it's not...
The mile of Mishnah Torah was that when it goes straight from the Seichel of the teacher, sometimes it cannot be understood by the students. When you have an intermediary, Mamutza HaMechaber, that connects, like Moshe Rabbeinu was, Chazal say, he was able to take this brilliant wisdom of Hashem and bring it into the Seichel of the people.
They're not changing?
Not changing it. No. He's saying over the word of Hashem. In fact, the Rebbe brings this down in the Sicha. It says, "Kol ma she-talmid vasik osid l'chadish," any chidish a Talmud comes from, it comes up with, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. He's saying it. What it is was, Hashem Seichel by Matan Torah, is now going through the Seichel of this rabbi that says this halacha. That's similar to the concept of Mishnah Torah. The Talmud Chochem is saying it. It's his din. It's Abaya's din. It's Rav's din. It's Rabba's din. Yeah, it's Beis Hillel's din. But it's going through the Seichel of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And that's what Chumash Dvarim is. So Chumash Dvarim, in a certain respect, is greater than the first Svarim. But he says, and that the Ramban writes in his introduction to this Dvarim, the Ramban writes, there's certain mitzvahs mentioned in Dvarim that were not mentioned before. Like he says, the mitzvah of Yibum, Meitzi Shemrag, the laws of marriage and divorce, are only later on in Dvarim. That's not mentioned at all earlier in Chumash. Because Moshe Rabbeinu here is speaking to the Dor going into Eretz Yisrael. They need one set of dinim. The Jews in Yoytzi Mitzrayim needed a different set of dinim. So everything was in its proper time and place.
So not necessarily everything was repeated?
Correct.
So it means the law is changing with place and time?
No.
So it's changing?
No, like we said, this is what this generation needed, so these are halachas. He spoke for that generation. The halachas this generation needed, he spoke for that generation.
Why is that?
What?
Yibum they didn't need before?
No, it seems that they didn't.
Doesn't that create a problem?
No, the Gemara said, the Medrash says, that everything was said in Har Sinai, and they repeated in Arv Ismayev. Over here. Yeah? But openly in Chumash we don't find it. If the Din of Yibum came up, Meshur Beno told him the Din of Yibum. But it wasn't mentioned openly in the Chumash before.
It was a there, but they not obvious.
But not clearly not mentioned obvious. In the Chumash.
No, it didn't mention it before. He had it, but he didn't mention
the din was there, not mentioned. Certain din he mentioned. Like Bechlal, it says in Torah, new minhagim come up. New dinim come up. Yeah, the din... Why wasn't... It's not the pshat that it wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. But everything, like Shlomo HaMelech says, Akol Yofa Be'itei. So it says certain things of Torah needed to be revealed at a certain time in history. For instance, Kabbalah and Chassidus was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. It's a chelek of Torah. It was definitely given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. But Chassidus wasn't revealed publicly until the time of the Baal Shem Tov. Because that's when the world needed it to be revealed. So that's when Hashem revealed it. Before that, they didn't need it, so it wasn't revealed. Every minig, every new thing in Torah that's revealed at a certain time is because now the people need it. Before, they didn't need it, now they need it. That's the basic difference. Okay, let's start the actual wording of the Chumash. Okay?
This is oral Torah is coming from this parasha.
Everything comes in the whole Torah. No, oral Torah so comes in the whole
because
Torah.
Because this is
mentioned, but it's not the oral. This is written Torah, and the oral Torah is the explanations of all of Torah.
Mishnah say this part of Mishnah of Torah. That's
right. For instance, the mitzvah saying Shema Viday. Yeah. It's in Parshas Veschanan. It wasn't mentioned before in Chumash, but the Jews in the Midbar said the Shema. But they didn't have the Pasha written. Like it says in the Tefillin, okay, when the Jews left Egypt, the Jews had to wear Tefillin. It says in Parshas Bay, we say in Kaddish Tikol B'choy, it speaks about Tefillin. So the Rishonim ask, for 40 years, Shema and Vahayim Shemaya was said in the 40th year. Shema is in Veschanan, Vahayim Shemaya we just read in Nekev. Yeah? That means when they left Egypt, they didn't have the Parsha Shema Vahayim Shemaya. So the thing is, the Rashba or the other Rishonim ask, so what did they wear in the Tefillin?
They wear it without the Seishim?
No. So they, the Rishonim write, they had the Tefillin, they had Tefillin with four boxes, but there were only two Parshis in there. Kaddishli and Vahayim Kiviyacha. Shema and Vahayim Shemaya, they didn't have in the Tefillin until it was given up. Then they put it into the Tefillin.
But you just mentioned that they had it. Why didn't
they? They didn't have it written. It wasn't given yet.
But they knew about it.
No, they write that they didn't have that in the Tefillin.
No, but did they know that there was four parshiyot?
They knew there was going to be four, and they knew the fourth, the last two, they're getting in the 40th year.
So the compartment had four or two?
Two. That four compartments, two were empty.
So is that why at this generation the Gedolim instructed the 13-year-olds to put out a Ben Tam?
The Rebbe said, because now the world needs it. When the Rebbe came out with candle lighting for girls from the age of three, right? The Rebbe said the earlier generations didn't need it. Now we need it. Bechlal, the mitzvah candle lighting, all these mitzvahs, Shlomo HaMelech gave, make eight of them, the Tilos Yadayim, Shlomo HaMelech made, right? What did they do before Shlomo HaMelech? They didn't need the Tilos Yadayim. Shlomo HaMelech came, he instituted Netilas Yadayim, because now the world needed it. Where was Netilas Yadayim given? From Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Did they need it then? No, so it wasn't given to them to do. In Shlomo HaMelech's time, Erevin, Netilas Yadayim, however, all the different things Shlomo HaMelech instituted, came about because that was the time they needed it.
Now Purim also?
Yeah. Purim was given to Moshe Har Sinai. But until the story of Purim happened, they didn't learn the Megillah. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't read Megillah Esther in the Midbar, I promise you. Maybe he did, I don't know. But
the concept was there. The concept.
Purim is alluded to in the Chumash.
It was a science fiction.
So every time Mashiach going to be new things?
Torah Chadash Yimiti Teitzi, not new things that weren't given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, though.
No, but revealed.
Yes, revealed new things. Correct. Because that's the time when those things need to be revealed. Where was it given? Like there's an expression, Chassidus has an expression, Matan Torah is not happening again. Matan Torah is not going to happen again. What was given was given. Everything was given. Mashiach is not going to have, okay, we're going to have a new Matan Torah now of Torah Chadashim Me'iti Teitzei. A new Torah, the Pasuk says, is going to come out. What it means is, everything was given to Har Sinai. Then as time went on, Hashem said, now is the time for this mitzvah, now is the time for this mitzvah, now is the time for this mitzvah, now is the time for this costume, and so on. That's the way it worked. Okay, so Eila Advarim, these are the words, and Rashi right away says, Moshe Rabbeinu, right before him, that's a very interesting lesson in how to admonish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is admonishing the Jewish people, yeah? But he's doing it in two interesting things. Three things, interestingly. Number one, he did it right before he died. He didn't want to say Musar and again Musar and again. He said, you know what, before I die...
I thought Moshe was Hasidim and Musar is...
Yeah, that's why you can hear how he said Musar was a Hasidus. You'll hear in a second. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying Musar. Rashi says, number one, it only made it Beremez. He only hinted to it. We'll see in the Pasuk all the places that he's screaming about the Jews. He makes it names of places. He doesn't say, you worship the eagle, you complained about the beef, you complained about the water. He alludes to it, hints. Number one, when you admonish somebody, you do it in a hidden way. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you only do it before Samach Lamisa. Where did he learn this out from, Rashi says? From Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu told his sons off right before they died. Mm-hmm. When he gave them the brachas. So he says, why? So he says, Rashi says, four reasons why you don't admonish somebody before you die, only before you die. You shouldn't keep doing it. Your friends shouldn't become embarrassed from it. And he says, oh, Yeshua and Shmuel, all these great David and Malach, all these great people, admonish people, the Bnei Yisrael right before they died. Not before, not after. Obviously after you can't. Number two, no, that's number three. Number one, he did it in a hinted way. He didn't say, you guy, what you did, you know. He did it in a hinted way. Secondly, he only did it right before he died. And the third thing, the Pasuk is going to say, after he did all the good things to the Jewish people, after he destroyed Sichon and Neig, and after he crossed the Yam Suf and gave him Matan Torah, what does it mean? You want to admonish somebody? You first need to show them that you love them. Look at all the good things I did for you. Now that you see I'm on your side, I did all these good things for you. Now when I admonish you, you're willing to listen. If I just give you mussar, why should you listen? What did you do for me that I should listen to you? So when you do it in a way that first you do a lot of love to the person, you do a lot of good for the person, and then you give them mussar, so then they accept it.
Before you die, you start to give all these things. You don't talk anything.
No, you do all the things good before, and then you have a right to say mussar.
Before you die.
That's right. Okay.
You discipline the kids before you die?
No, that's too late.
So how did Yaakov do it?
Discipline is not mussar.
Masiyat.
Discipline is discipline. Admonishing is admonishing. It's two different things.
Advice.
You can't discipline children before you die, because they already grew up to be monsters. You need to admonish the discipline them the whole time. Admonishment is you tell them off for what the bad things they did.
But those words you never forget about it.
Yeah, but not if you say it with love. Then you accept it.
If they understand that.
If they that's true. If they understand. Now it sounds like this. Ela advarim ashedibe meisha al kol Yisro. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all the Jews. So Rashi says an interesting thing. Why does it say he spoke to all the Jews? Why did he say he spoke to all the Jews? Because Rashi says like this. Because if he would have admonished only a few of them, you know what the Yentis would say? You guys took it. If I would have been there, I would have answered back, Moshe Rabbeinu. I wouldn't have taken the smusif from Moshe Rabbeinu, I would have answered him back. So the Pasuk said, Moshe Rabbeinu said it to all the Jews, and he said, anybody has something to say, open up your mouth. He said, whoever has what to say, open your mouth now. And of course, nobody did. But the Klei Yakis says an interesting observation over here. He asks a question. Normally it says, Dabit al Bnei Yisro. Even in Vayakel, the Klei Yakis says, we only find twice in Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all the Jews together. It says, Vayakel Moshe is kol adas Bnei Yisro, in Parshas Vayakel, when he told them after Yom Kippur the laws of building the Mishkan. So it's a Vayakal Meshe Eskoladaz B'nei Yisrael Vayim Aleihem, and here. And he says, how in the world can Moshe Rabbeinu gather 600,000 people? You know what it is to talk 600,000 people without a microphone? That's without the women and kids. Can you imagine talking to
2 million
people? 2 million people to talk to the...
Without microphone.
Huh? A Shabbos one. So the Klei Yakis has an interesting observation. He says, what's the difference? Here it says, Al Kol Yisrael. It doesn't say, Bnei Yisrael. It doesn't say, Veidam HaMesh Al Kol Bnei Yisrael. It says, Al Kol Yisrael. So he differentiates like this. Bnei Yisrael means the masses. When it says, Dabar Bnei Yisrael, it means to everybody. When he says, Al Kol Yisrael, it means to the leaders. It's different than Rashi. Rashi says, I'll call you so, he spoke to all the Jews together, all the Jews together. But the Klei Yakis says, it means is...
the leader of the group.
He says, when it says B'nai Yisrael, that's Hamein Am. Avu B'makam Shemaski Yisrael, he's Medabin Magdalim Shabi Yisrael. Why? Because when it comes to building the Mishkan, over there it says B'nai Yisrael, every Jew is obligated in building the Mishkan. Admonishing another Jew, the Torah says it has to be only the leaders. Not everybody can just go around admonishing other Jews. That's what the Klei Yakis says. That's over here when he speaks about Musar, he speaks Al Kol Yisrael, meaning to the leaders of the Jewish people. Okay, where did he speak? Be'ever HaYarden. Okay, no, Be'ever HaYarden. Bamidbar. In the desert. So Rashi writes right away, Rashi asks, the Medrash asks, they weren't in the Midbar, they're out of the Midbar already. They're about to go out there to throw. So he says what it means is, not that they were in the desert. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu was hinting the sins the Jews did. He said, the sin that you did in the desert, when you said, how come we're dying in the desert, and you took us out of Egypt to die in the desert, that was the sin. Or Ba'adava, what does it mean, Ba'adava?
Again.
It says, no, the Baal Pa'er Beshitim. At the end of Parshas Balak, when the Jewish people started sinning with the Jewish, with the Shiksis, with the non-Jewish girls, so over there was Baal Rav Mul Beis Pa'er. And then it says, Mul Suf, what Mul Suf, opposite to the Yam Suf, it means what they got Hashem angry at Yam Suf. Bein Paran of Bein Teifel V'Lovin V'Chatzeres. Yeah, these are all, simply all names of places. So Rashko Amir Ab Yechanan. Chazanu Al Kol HaMikra. We went through the whole Tanakh. And we never found a place called Lovin V'Chatzeres with these Teifel V'Lovin. Says, no such place is mentioned anywhere in the Torah. What type of places are these? So Rashi says, Shatoflu Al Amon Chu Lovin. They complained about the Mon, which is Lovin white. And they said, Bamidbar Paran through the Meraglim. And he says like this, what does it mean, being Paran of being Teifel V'Lovon? Teifel V'Lovon is what they complained about the Mon. Teifel, the Mephoshim explains from Tefillah, talking. Teifel V'Lovon means they complained about the Mon. They said, we're sick and tired of the Mon, we want beef, you know, we're sick and tired of this food. Bein Paran was the sin of the Meraglims. The Chazeres was, it says, the sin of Kerach that took place in the city of Chazeres. The Di Zohav, and the place called Di Zohav, But what does it mean, di zahav? Rashi said means di zahav, enough gold. Hashem said, I gave you too much gold, and therefore you made a golden calf.
Yeah.
So all of these places are not really places. These are the sins that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people. You sinned in the desert, you sinned here, you sinned there. In other words, again, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't, when you embarrass, when you want to tell somebody off, do it in an indirect way, that they, you shouldn't think, that they shouldn't think that you're really giving it to them. It's said in a much, nicer way, and that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu said Musa. So these are all the places that he's talking about.
Not if you die, then the snake it comes from you. I mean, if you lie, the snake comes from your grave. It comes to your grave.
What about if you lie, the snake comes to your grave?
That's one of the musar that they people they say. If you say lashon hara, if you lie, and the snake comes in, so. He wouldn't say like it's such a thing.
I don't know. That's what it says.
One of them saw.
Then all the cemeteries should be full of snakes.
We never know. Maybe there. Maybe there. Underground.
Okay. So again, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Musar. And he's telling it to them, nice to all the Jews, right before he died. And, okay, now, Acharos Yom Chedev, 11 days from Chedev, Derech Har Seir, through Har Seir, at Kadesh Baneah, to Kadesh Baneah. Okay? Now, what does this mean? Here, Moshe Rabbeinu finished the Musar. And he's telling the Jews, look what Hashem did to you. From Kadesh Baneah, from Chedev, from Har Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, normally takes 11 days. Rashi makes a whole cheshbon that the Jews did in 3 days. In other words, Hashem says to the Jews, Moshe Rabbeinu speaking now, he says, look, you were so bad, and yet Hashem took you an 11-day journey in 3 days because he wanted to bring you to Eretz Yisrael as soon as possible.
I think it was going to take a lot less than 40 years there.
Yeah, this is before the sins. Before the sins. That's what Rashi says. The Afu Mahalach Acharas Yom, right? And then it says, Ata Malachta Maisa Shloshi Yomim. And Rashi makes a whole cheshbon what it was. Okay? So Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jews, look, Hashem, Rashi says, Shechina Mispalatas Bishvilchim Lamar Biaschim Lordes, the Shechina went out of his way to do a miracle, to bring you into Eretz Yisrael as soon as possible. And because of you messed it up, Vayi Bar Boim Son, we were 40 years in the Midbar. That was because of the sin that they did. And again, he's complaining, you see that Hashem did such a miracle, and you're complaining about the spies that we can't go into Eretz Yisrael, and so on and so on. Okay, Vayi Bar Boim Shana, it was in the 40th year, Ba'ash Teyasa Chedesh Ba'echad LaChedesh, in the 11th month on the first day of the month, meaning the month of Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Okay? Because remember, in Torah there's no names of any months. The names of the months went up with the Jews when they went for the second base of Migdash from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. That's when they brought the names of Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves. In Torah it's all numbers. So, when did Moshe Rabbeinu say it? So he said in the 40th year, in the 10th month, in the 11th month, Be'echad L'Chedesh, and the first day of the month, meaning Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Okay?
What page we are?
938.
Now going 940.
Bottom line, Dibur Moshe Bnei Yisrael, okay, Hashem spoke, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke of Bnei Yisrael, everything that Hashem told him to speak. Okay? He told him again the Aseres HaDibros, he told him again the Shema, he told him again everything that they needed to know. Now Rashi says, like we said before, why is the Torah saying, Achare HaKeisei, next pasuk. Achare HaKeisei, Sichin Melech HaMeri, after he conquered Sichin, and Sheyeshi B'Cheshbon, who lived in the city of Cheshbon, Ve'Yisei Melech HaBashan, and the king Og, the king of Bashan, Asher Yoshev Ashtoris Bedrei, that dwelt in Ashtoris in Edrei, yeah, And Rashi explains, why does it say all these details? The Torah wants to show, and Rashi says, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews. If I don't bring him to Eretz Yisrael, who am I to give the Musar? They're going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, your job was to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, because that's what you told them when you took us out of Egypt. You told us you're going to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. You didn't finish your job. Who are you to tell us Musar? Who are you? You didn't do your job either. So why are you screaming at us? So the Pasuk is saying, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to tell him until I conquer Sichon Leg, which became a part of Eretz Yisrael. And then I'm going to tell them the Musar. And why does it say, Sichon Melchamed Asher Yeshi B'Cheshbon? The Gemara says like this. Sichon was a very, very powerful king. Not only was he a powerful king, Cheshbon was a very fortified, powerful city. So you can imagine it was Sichon in Cheshbon and Oeg, Bashterayz Be'edrei. So it shows even the greater miracle that Hashem did to the Jewish people through Moshe Rabbeinu, that not only was he a strong king in a weak city, would have also been hard to do. If it would be a strong city in a weak king, it would also be hard to conquer. Here he's conquering a strong king in a strong city. So it's a tremendous miracle. Be'ever Yarden Be'eretz Mayav, okay? In Ever Yarden, on the other side of the Yarden in the land of Mayav, Hoyel Meshe Beinu began Be'eretz HaTeira Zei Slemer, explaining the Teira. Okay? Now, what does it mean, Be'eretz HaTeira? Rashi says an interesting statement. B'shivim Loshen. Meshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says to the Medrash, explained the Torah now in 70 languages. And here it doesn't say the word Be'er Heitev, but later on in Chumash it speaks about Meshe Rabbeinu translating the Torah Be'er Heitev in a very good explanation. So the Mefarshim say it's interesting. If you take the word Heitev, Hey Yud, Tes Beis, yeah? And you add, I don't know what you call it in expression, but you say it like this. The Baal Torah says you take Hey, then Hey Yud, and then Hey Yud Tes, and then Hey Yud Tes Beis, it equals 70. In other words, if you take the word Hey Tev, Hey Yud Tes Beis, and you do Hey, and then Hey Yud, and then Hey Yud Tes, and then Hey Yud Tes Beis, it equals 70. Hey is 5, right? And then Hey Yud is 15 and 5 is 20. And then Hey Yud Tes is another 15 and 9 is 24, is 44, right? And then if you take Hey Yud Tes Beis, it's 15 and
24
and 17 and 9 is 26 and 26 and 44. So it says Be'er Heitev. Later on here it doesn't, here it just says Hail Meisha Be'er Esatayah, and Rashi says from the Tanchuma. But Meisha Beinu translated the Torah into 70 languages.
But I said the Gemara says the
Torah
should not be translated.
No. For the Goyim it shouldn't be translated.
So who did it translate it for?
No, because this is what I'm going to talk about now. Question is, Meshe Rabbeinu translated Torah into 70 languages. Yeah? So the question is, for whom? Mm. All the Jews in that time spoke Yiddish. Mm. I mean, what else did they speak? Yiddish. They all spoke Hebrew, Yalosh and Kaidish. What was the necessity of Meshe Rabbeinu translating Torah into 70 languages? It's a waste of time. No. Rashi says, B'shivim Loshin Pirshulim from Tanchuma. He brought it from 70 languages. That's what it says in Tanchuma. Okay? Okay, so the reason is, it's a very interesting reason. What Meshe Rabbeinu accomplished by translating Torah into 70 languages was that he brought the Kedusha of Torah into any language that you learn it in. If Torah is a Lashon Kodesh, and you learn it in English, French, Farsi, whatever, yeah, then you don't have the Kedusha of Torah, you're just having a translation of the Torah. And the translation is nowhere near the level of the original. So Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah into 70 languages. Why? Because he wanted to bring Kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Tzivulon HaMoshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to bring the Kedusha and the Elokus, the godliness of Torah, into any language. And therefore, if any person learns Torah in any language, they have the same Kedusha of learning Torah as it is in Lashon Kodesh. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to accomplish. By the way, it's an interesting thing. The only thing that Rambam wrote in Hebrew is Mishnah Torah. The only sefer that Rambam wrote in Lashon Kodesh was Rambam, what we call Mishnah Torah of the Rambam. Meir Nevuchim, he wrote in Arabic. Pirush Mishnayis, that he wrote his explanation of Mishnah, is in Arabic. All the Rambam Sfarim he wrote in Arabic, except Lashon Kodesh. All the translators, there was a guy Kapach that translated from Arabic into Lashon Kodesh, and therefore it's brought down in Halachas Sfarim, that whenever there's a chiluk between Mishnah Torah of the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayis of the Rambam, or Meir Nevuchim, whatever it is, you go by Mishnah Torah because that wasn't translated. Because anytime you translate something, it's lav dafka, the whole greatness. It says what's called in the Gemara Tirgum Shivim, when the Greek king told the Jews to call in the Chacham, 70 Chacham in 70 different rooms, yeah, to translate the Torah into 70 into Greek, yeah. What did he want to prove by that? That everybody's going to have a different translation, and therefore that shows the Torah could be translated any way you want. The Torah is not authentic, Torah is not emes, Torah is not real, because anybody can translate, and you see how different it is, right? So Hashem made a miracle that all 70 translated exactly the same way. And the Gemara said the 10 changes they made, all of them made the same 10 changes. Yeah, that's what the Gemara says.
They don't want the other people, they come to Jewish.
The Gemara says that the day they translated the Torah for the Greek king, Talmei HaMelech, in Greek, it was considered Kiyem Shenasa Bayayigal. It was like the day they made an eagle.
Why, because of the changes?
No. Because what he... So the question is... Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah in 70 languages. But he wanted... The difference between Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Kedusha of Torah into the 70 languages. They wanted that Torah should be changed by the 70... By the language of the Greeks. Of the Targum Shivim doesn't mean they translated into 70 languages. 70 Chachamim translated the Torah into Greek. That's what it means. Wasn't
so that's why Onkelos is okay, yeah. Because that has the Kedusha and going when they did it doesn't.
Correct. No, today if you translate Chumash into English, yeah, you learn the English, you're getting Torah. Yeah. Somebody called me.
So what's the?
I don't know if it's today. I'm getting older. Today, or yesterday. If I learn Ein Yaakov, you know Ein Yaakov is the safe with all the stories of the Gemara, yeah. If I learn Ein Yaakov, do I get a mitzvah of learning Torah? So first the mother called. My son wants to know, if he learns in Yaakov, does he get the mitzvah of learning Torah? I said, yes, in Yaakov is Torah. But he's learning it in English. I said, so what? You still get the mitzvah of Torah. Then the guy called me, the son called me, and he said, no, my mother didn't explain it right. The Ein Yaakov I'm learning, there's no Hebrew, there's only the English. It's not side by side, like you're in Chumash with the English. There's only in English, that's it, you know? So I said, what's the difference? The English is Torah. You get a mitzvah, you get the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you make Birchas HaTorah, you get the mitzvah of learning Torah. Are you learning in English? What difference does it make? Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Kedusha of Torah into all languages. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu translated it. Luchayda, question could be asked. 50 years later, they needed it in Chinese, so the Chacham and them will translate into Chinese. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to do it? What was the permission? When they needed it into English, so you have a translation like today, you translate into English. We don't know how Moshe Rabbeinu translated it into English. I know English is not one of the 70 languages, Mustafa. But, like, how do we... The answer is... That's for sure not. Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah, he brought the Kedusha of Torah into all 70 languages. That when a Jew learns Torah in any language, because all the other languages in the world are all offshoots of the 70 languages, it says. Today there's like 120-something, I don't know how many languages there are in the world, 126, I think. But whatever it is, they're all offshoots of the Shivim Lashon, right? So of the 70 nations. So when a Jew learns Torah in any way whatsoever, when they translated the Torah
into Greek... What's the difference between Greek and English?
Huh?
What's the difference?
There's no difference.
So why
but they wanted... His purpose of the translation was to show that Torah is not real. That's what he wanted.
The Kavanah makes a difference.
Yes. The purpose of the Kavanah was a big difference.
What can I say? Bracha in
English? You can say Bracha in English in your Yetzer. But that's only, by the way, if you say it in the proper translation. It has to be exact translation of the bracha.
There's no way you can translate something and it comes exact what you mean.
Huh? Yeah. Yes, you could.
No.
Why not?
Translation was loose. I mean, have the kedusha, but you lose the essence of it.
Again, but in Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu made it in such a way that it doesn't lose the essence at all.
So why, when they typed the Rambam into Hebrew from Arabic, everybody says that it's not...
It's not the exact thing to say that that's what Rambam meant when he himself wrote in Lashon Kodesh, but if somebody learns Meir Nevuchim in Arabic, he still gets the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He still makayim the mitzvah, it's not a problem.
I have a question.
What?
At the time of the Torah, the month, the year was 12 months, 13 months. How they do that?
The months they had already in Mitzrayim.
So, how they...
When Hashem said in Mitzrayim, Achedesh Hazel Lachem Resh Chadashim, they had the months. So it was all by numbers.
Chedesh HaShvi. 14 months, 13 months.
No, they had 12 months with two others. They had the Shibur also.
Because later on they find out they make it 13 months, so 12
no,
months.
No, they had it.
Two others.
Chazal said that was given when Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Chedesh HaShvi, Lachem Resh Chadashim, it was leap years then included also.
Okay. That's my point. Because
I mean, Lahavdol, Elef Avdolis, the Muslims also go by the lunar year, but they don't have a leap year.
Yeah, no.
Therefore, they lose 11 days a year.
That's my question.
The three Ramadan is sometimes in this month. The Torah has to be Pesach, has to be in the summer, in the spring.
Yeah, that's
right now is the Ramadan. So, Rabbi,
they should fast the whole life without eating at night either.
Rabbi, how could it be that the months were given by Hashem when we can set it up ourselves? I think it was given for Jews. And
Hashem gave us the months. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, okay? Mm-hmm. When Rosh Chodesh is, Achodesh Hazel Lochem, Hashem says it's up to you to proclaim when Rosh Chodesh is. But the Bezin can't proclaim Rosh Chodesh on the 15th day of the month.
1 or 2 days different, not
right?
Close.
But that's up to the Bezin to do.
The name of the month from Babylon, they are not able, right?
What?
Tammuz, Nisan, it's.
You can't move Nisan, only other.
But it's from Babylonian. It's not able war.
The names of the months came up with them from Babel. But the months themselves, first month, second month, third month, that was given to them in Mitzrayim. And the ability to proclaim when the months are, that's also.
Like the 7 days that they have. like 7 days for Shabbos, it was all...
That was not given to the Jews. Shabbos is not up to the Jews to proclaim Shabbos. We mentioned this many times. You know when you daven, you say in Shabbos, yeah? Baruch atah Hashem mekadesh Shabbos. Right? You don't say Baruch atah Hashem mekadesh Yisrael v'Shabbos. Okay? What do we say on Yom Tov in the Yamida? Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. And even if it's Shabbos, we say mekadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim. We don't even say Mekadesh Yisro v'Shabbos v'Azman. Right? Why? So Mefoshim explained. Mefoshim of Siddur explained. Because Shabbos is Mekadesh v'Kaima. Shabbos is Momaila Kedusha. It's nothing to do with the Jews. The Jews, if Bezen got together today, today is Monday, they say, you know, today is Sunday. And 7 days from now is going to be Shabbos. It's nothing. Who sanctifies Shabbos? Mekadesh HaShabbos, Hashem does. Who sanctifies Yom Tov by proclaiming when Rosh Chodesh is? That's Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Because the Jews make the Zman. Bezdin makes the Zman. When Pesach is the 15th day of the month, yeah? That day is a holy day, Kedusha. Who made that day Kedusha? Not Hashem. By the Jews proclaiming Rosh Chodesh Nissan, when they did, 15 days later becomes a holy day. Who made that holy? Who is Mekadesh that day? Yisrael, the Jews were doing it. So you say Mekadesh Yisrael Vazman. And even Yom Tov and Shabbos say Mekadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael Vazman. Because Yom Tov is up to the evening.